Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Gnar Trees podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book. Mary Chesnut's Civil War is an annotated edition of the Civil War diaries and later revisions of Mary Boykin Chesnut, a South Carolina woman closely connected to the Confederate political and military elite through her husband, James Chesnut Jr., edited by historian C. Van Woodward, and published by Yale University Press. The volume is both a primary source document and a work of historical interpretation. It records events from the secession crisis through the collapse of the Confederacy, while also reflecting Chesnut's later effort to shape her wartime notes into a more literary account. The book is significant because it offers a rare, highly observant female perspective from inside the highest circles of the slaveholding South. Its purpose is not simply to chronicle battles or political decisions, but to expose the social tensions, moral contradictions, anxieties, and daily experiences of a society under wartime pressure. Woodward's scholarly framing makes the text especially valuable for historical study. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, a diary shaped by both immediate observation and later literary revision. One of the central features of Mary Chesnut's Civil War is that it is not a simple untouched diary. Chesnut kept wartime notes during the conflict, but she later revised and expanded them in the 1880s, transforming immediate impressions into a more polished narrative. This dual nature gives the book unusual richness and also requires careful reading. The wartime layer preserves the urgency of events as Chesnut encountered rumors, defeats, shortages, political conversations, and personal losses. The later layer adds structure, hindsight, and literary control, often sharpening her portraits of people and deepening her reflections on Confederate society. This makes the book both a witness document and a crafted memoir. The distinction matters because readers must consider how memory, self-presentation, and post-war interpretation may have shaped the final form. Rather than weakening the book, this complexity is part of its historical importance. It shows how Civil War memory was produced, edited, and morally negotiated by someone who had been close to power but also deeply aware of social contradiction. Secondly, an insider's view of Confederate leadership and elite political culture. Chesnut's social position gives the book access to a world that many Civil War accounts cannot closely observe. As the wife of James Chesnut Jr., a former United States Senator and Confederate officer, she moved among leading figures in South Carolina and the Confederacy. Her diary, therefore, records not only public events, but also the conversations, expectations, rivalries, and uncertainties within elite circles. This perspective is valuable because it reveals how secession and war were experienced by people who helped shape Confederate policy and social opinion. Chesnut often observes the distance between confident public language and private anxiety, especially as military fortunes decline. Her account also shows the importance of salons, family networks, dinners, visits, and informal conversations in political culture. Power appears not only in legislatures and battlefields, but also in drawing rooms where reputations were made and judgments exchanged. The result is a history of the Confederacy as a lived social world, not merely as a military government. Readers see ambition, fear, loyalty, vanity, and denial operating together within the ruling class. Thirdly, the contradictions of slavery, gender, and moral awareness in the planter South. The book is especially important for the way it exposes contradictions within the slaveholding elite. Even when Chesnut herself remains a participant in that society, she writes from within a world built on slavery. Yet her observations often reveal discomfort with its consequences, particularly the sexual exploitation of enslaved women and the hypocrisies of white male authority. Her position as an elite woman shapes this critique. She could see the domestic and emotional consequences of slavery in ways that public political defenses of the institution often concealed. At the same time, her account is limited by her class and racial assumptions, and it should not be treated as an abolitionist testimony. Its value lies in showing how a perceptive insider could recognize moral disorder while remaining bound to the society that produced it. Gender is also central. Chesnut's exclusion from formal political power did not prevent her from analyzing politics, war, and social hierarchy with sharp intelligence. The diary therefore complicates simple categories of loyalty, descent, privilege, and moral perception in the Civil War South. Fourthly, the Confederate home front is a record of scarcity, rumor, and social strain. Mary Chesnut's Civil War is not a battle narrative. Though battles constantly shape the conditions of the diary, its distinctive strength is its portrayal of the Confederate home front. Chesnut records the effects of war on travel, food, clothing, household management, illness, mourning, and social ritual. As the conflict continues, the polished world of the planter elite becomes harder to maintain. Shortages, displacement, inflation, military reverses, and grief gradually alter the texture of daily life. the diary also captures the importance of rumor in wartime society. News often arrives late, partially, or through uncertain channels, producing cycles of hope and dread. This makes the book a useful account of psychological pressure as well as material hardship. Chestnut's attention to visits, letters, gossip, and public ceremonies shows how civilians tried to preserve order and meaning while the Confederacy deteriorated. The home front appears as an active historical space, where morale, class identity, gender roles, and political belief were continually tested by events beyond individual control. Lastly, C. Van Woodward's annotations turn a personal record into a major historical source. The edition's authority depends heavily on C. Van Woodward's editorial work. Chestnut's text contains a large cast of public figures, relatives, military officers, politicians, and social acquaintances, many of whom would be difficult for modern readers to identify without guidance. Woodward's annotations supply context, clarify references, and help distinguish the historical circumstances behind Chestnut's remarks. His introduction and editorial apparatus also place the diary within the broader history of Civil War memory, manuscript revision, and Southern society. This scholarly framing is one reason the book became a standard source for historians and won the Pulitzer Prize for History. The annotations do more than explain names. They help readers evaluate Chestnut's reliability, perspective, and limitations. They also make visible the gap between private observation and public history. By presenting the text as a complex document rather than a transparent window, Woodward encourages critical reading. The result is a work that serves general readers, students, and specialists by combining literary vividness with historical discipline. In conclusion, Mary Chestnut's Civil War is best suited for readers interested in the American Civil War beyond battlefield strategy, especially historians, students, and general readers who want to understand the social and psychological life of the Confederacy. It is also valuable for those studying women's writing, Southern literature, slavery, political culture, and historical memory. The book offers practical intellectual benefits because it trains readers to handle primary sources carefully. Chestnut is vivid and perceptive, but she is also socially positioned, politically implicated, and later self-editing. That combination makes the text ideal for learning how evidence, memory, privilege, and interpretation interact. Compared with many Civil War diaries, it stands out because of Chestnut's proximity to Confederate leaders, her literary intelligence, and the depth of Woodward's annotation. Compared with military histories, it reveals how war entered households, conversations, reputations, and moral judgments, compared with simpler memoirs. It preserves tension, rather than smoothing it away. Loyalty to the South coexists with criticism of its leaders, social customs, and slaveholding contradictions. Its lasting value lies in this layered complexity. It is not merely a record of what happened, but a study of how one highly observant insider understood a collapsing world. If you would like to support Mary Chestnut, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.